the Lord. Amen. In the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Psalmist said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Amen. He's never failed you, and he will never fail you. Amen. Come on, let's put our hands together and praise him for a minute. Amen. God, you're worthy. God, we praise you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen. What an awesome God we serve. Before you're seated, turn around to somebody next to you, in front of you, behind you. Amen. Say, man, we serve a great God. You can be seated. We're going to take a look together as we get started at Psalms 47. It's the end of the year, not quite the beginning of the new year, but we're on the precipice of a new year. And New Year's comes and people often say, well, I'm going to start exercising. I'm going to lose 5 pounds, or I'm going to quit doing the things that I used to do, and I'm going to start doing things that I should do. And statistics say that lasts less than a month, typically. Most people sign up for the gym and sign out within a few weeks because it's effort, it's work. I want to talk about, preach about for a few minutes, enjoying God. Enjoying God. I'm thankful that you're here. Let's look together in Psalms 47, verse 1. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, that psalm doesn't say all ye good people, all ye perfect people, all ye worthy people, all you good looking, tall people with hair on your head. It says, oh, clap your hands, all ye people, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. For the Lord Most High is terrible. Now, we look at the word terrible, and it's probably they ought to change that in the next translation, because we think of terrible as something horrible. That's, you know, a terrible automobile accident. That's the way we use. That's a context we use the word in. It was a terrible automobile accident. I've had a terrible day. That guy is a terrible person. That is not the context of the scripture. Amen. God is not a bad God. On any day of any century or any thousand-year period, amen, God has never been a bad God. Amen. But when you look up, if you're John the Revelator and you look up and see God, he said, I saw him high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. Amen. The angels surrounded him. All the things that John saw and Isaiah saw with his feet were burned like brass. When he spoke, it was like a sword of fire coming out of his mouth. It was terrible. It was frightening. It was ferocious. I said last week that we're not that Christians. Some people paint Christians as timid or intimidating or intimidated. But the truth is, amen, the devil's afraid of us. Amen. The devil is afraid of the church. The devil's afraid of the church that prays. The devil's afraid of the church that believes. The devil is afraid of the church that stands. Amen. The enemy is afraid of you. That's the reason he works so hard to offset you and get you shook. Amen. Because he wants you, most of all, not to believe. Listen, the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom he loved, Selah. Verse 5, God has gone up with a shout, and the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. What do you think we're doing when we're worshiping? We're not doing it for you. You know, people say, well, I don't know if I'm going to that church. They don't sing the songs that I sing. Well, actually, we're not singing them for you. And if you sing off key, go ahead and sing anyway. Amen. Because God doesn't say, I only want to hear the people on key. Amen. He wants to hear anybody sing praises unto him. Now, if you're really off key, don't sing too loud. Don't want to interrupt all the people around you, distract them, and have them thinking, oh, my God, I wish he'd shut up. But sing praises unto God. That's for everybody. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises. It's repeated four times. Whenever the Bible repeats something, amen, it is, especially right in a row, it is a strong emphasis, amen, that you ought to be singing praises to God. Sing praises to God. Sing praises to the Lord. Amen. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. I mean, that's emphatic. That's God almost yelling at us. Come on. Sing praises. Come on. Stand up and sing praises. Sing praises in your car. Sing praises mowing your grass. Sing praises in the grocery store. I find myself walking around the grocery store singing praise, and I catch myself and think, oh, my God, who hurt me? Are they going to think I'm terrible walking around here singing? If they heard me sing, they might think I'm a terrible singer. Amen. But I want them to hear that I'm singing unto the Lord. I find myself walking down the grocery aisles and praying. I know the grocery store is not necessarily a place to pray. But I'm telling you, wherever you are, the kingdom of God is, and it is a place to pray, and it is a holy place. When you walk there with the presence of God, here's why. For God is King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. When I was young, we had one of our preachers played the piano. And we didn't have the keyboards and all this. We had an old upright piano, and he sat about the same place here from the pulpit, and he was singing one day a worship song, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost began to move, and he quit singing in English. And as he sat there and played, he began to sing. I don't know what he was singing. Sounded kind of like the same thing, but I couldn't really tell, because he was singing in tongues as the Spirit of God moved through him. And I mean, he had chorus and verse, and he went back and sang. I don't know that he knew what he was saying. In fact, afterwards we talked to him. He was my Sunday school teacher, and he had no idea. God just began to move, and he began to sing praises unto God. That's biblical. Amen. That you can sing in the Spirit, and you can sing with the understanding. Somebody help me and say amen. God reigneth over the heathen. No matter how bad it gets, and I'm telling you, it's pretty horrific sometimes. There was a 14-year-old boy shot a 12-year-old girl or something like that in South Bend this week. They caught the boy. I don't know what it's all about, but it's horrific for the boy and it's horrific for the girl. I don't know what their problem was, but there should never be a day in our society where a 14-year-old boy thinks, I ought to kill a girl. That's a horrible day in our society. Amen. But the heathen, although he may rage, he is not going to win. Because God is in charge of and over. Look, doesn't it say that? Amen. God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the... What image do you have of God? Do you have an image of God as an old, crankety old fella? Amen. Barely get around. I know I'm in my 60s now, and some mornings it feels that way. Feels like I need to oil the joints before I get them up and get them going. But I don't believe God, who is from eternity to eternity, has an old age problem. Amen. For God is King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth on the throne of his holiness. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of the God of Abraham, for the shields of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted. My word. What a great word of the Lord. Pray with me so you're going to help me preach. Pray for yourself that you'll help me preach. And then pray for me that I'll do a great job preaching this, because this is a great word of the Lord for today. Amen. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for your great word. God, I thank you for your great spirit and your great anointing that you want to pour out in this congregation. You want your spirit to walk our aisles. The balm of Gilead is here to do anointing. I thank you, Lord, that your spirit rules and reigns among men in the world, in my life. I thank you, Lord, that you're in charge of the heathen. Regardless of what evil comes about around us, amen, God, you're still in charge. There's coming a day where you're going to set things right, and you're going to bring order even to this earth. God, I thank you, Lord, for your promise. I thank you, Lord, for that great hope. Help us, God. Help us, God, to teach our children well. Amen. We can't allow our children, God, just to run rampant and do whatever they want. We've got to teach them that there is a God that rules and reigns on the earth. Amen. There's a God to be honored. There's a God to be praised. There's a God to be worshiped. And we love you. We thank you, God. Amen. For all that you do. Even for the unjust, for it rains on the just and the unjust, God. And we thank you, Lord, for your great presence among us. Amen. Evil and good, kind and mean. God, you love us all the same. I thank you for that. I trust you for it. In Jesus' great name. Everybody said, amen. I want to talk about joy. I know we just came through Christmas and you sing that song, Joy, my wife could, Joy too. The Savior reigns. Amen. What a great thought and a great idea. But what is joy? It's more than an emotion. I didn't really give you all the guidance I really should have, but I've got a baseball team. This is the gentleman number 5 running into home plate is Freddie Freeman. It's the first walk-off grand slam of a World Series. It's a home run. I want you to take a minute. And I want you to look at the faces of the guys around home plate. I read something this week that really caught my attention. There's a guy that's taking these pictures. These are professional pictures from AP or whoever is doing the photography at ball games. But there's one guy that's going through and collecting every home run at the end of the plate where they're running home and the team is gathered around. He's decided he's going to collect all of those images and keep all of those images. I don't know if he's posting them online. I've not found that post yet where all of them are online. But I thought, what a great idea. Because what he said was, I think this is what heaven looks like. Nobody's sad. Nobody's upset. Nobody's, oh, that's too bad. He took you young. Nobody says, oh, it's too bad you only made it to 80. You only made it to 70. No, when you get to heaven, it's a home run. And there's a party. The Bible actually says, when one sinner repents, amen, heaven rejoices. So that isn't even a picture of going to heaven. That's a picture of one person sitting in a single church service, hearing the good word of God, or somebody singing the gospel, and all of a sudden, something in their heart changes, and they begin to see, I can have faith for myself. I can know him for myself. I can have a relationship that God, that preacher believes in, and those people believe in, and they're waving their arms, and they're shouting for joy, and they're clapping their hands. Maybe I can have that kind of, I don't see that joy in my life. I don't see that joy in my family. I don't see that joy in that community. But when I come to church, all of a sudden, I see there's joy in the earth. Somebody has a hope. Many of you are aware, and I've told the story a number of times, but Dave Stokely came to the Lord because one man had joy. Not all of you. Dave was an atheist. And I tell the story not for those that have heard it, but for those who haven't. He sat back in the corner over there in front of Paul, sitting on the back row. He sat there one row up. He came. He had a heart attack. He went through difficulty. He had to go to surgery. Didn't know if he was going to live. One of his friends at work who came to church here at the time said, our church will pray for you. We put his name on the board. We asked, would you please pray for his coworker? Amen. He's going in for heart surgery at the Cleveland Clinic. They couldn't do it in the area. It was so serious, they sent him to the Cleveland Clinic in Ohio. And he had heart surgery. And he told him afterwards, our church prayed for you while you were in surgery and recovering in the hospital. And he said, now this has never happened since that I know of. He said, I think I ought to go to church. I'm telling you, the man was an atheist. He had spent about 42 or 3 years trying to convince people there was no God. I mean, he argued online, he argued on Facebook, he argued at work, he argued amongst his friends and family. There is no God. His dad was an atheist. He came by his atheism by his dad. And he is a very intelligent man. Still talk to him. He moved away, but he still works right up the road from us. And he said, I came to church and I wanted to say thank you. So his friend said, hey, he wants to say thank you. So we stopped service. And we always have testimony at different times. Or if somebody has a special testimony, and they tell me, want to give a testimony. We try to make time for a testimony. So I called him out, and he stood up and said, I want to thank you for praying for me. He said, I really appreciate it. Came through the surgery fine and just went on. And said, man, I'm happy you're here. Thank God for that. And we had church like we're having it today. And an old guy, one of our old men, fought in World War II. was right here. And he was just worshiping the Lord. Through song service, he just worshiped, had his hands up, raised. I mean, he was just bouncing and moving. And I'm talking about an old guy. He had hair growing out his ears. He hadn't mowed it in a long time. I mean, it was hair going on the sides of his ears, down and out of his ears. I think he was trying to hope that there would be a day he could replant them to the top of his head. He just worshiped, and all of a sudden, I got up to preach, and he just went, amen. I mean, just throw his fist in the air. Amen. That's right. Go ahead and preach it. Preach it, Brother Johnson. Do you know why sometimes you ought to say amen and say preach it, Brother Johnson? Because there might be somebody in the audience who doesn't believe, and your belief... I just want you to know, faith rubs off. Amen. And when you say amen, when you say that's right, preacher, go ahead and preach it, preacher. Amen. Somebody in the audience, they don't know that you've had a bad week. They don't know that you can't pay your bills. They don't know that you've had a heart attack 2 weeks ago or a month ago. Amen. The only thing they know is you believe that God is alive in the earth today. And God is going to take care of your problem and your situation today. And when you say amen, when you say, yeah, preacher, somebody goes, I think. David did not, Dave Soapley did not know the man. He only knew him from sitting there and watching him sit here. And he would shake and he would jump. And, I mean, the Holy Ghost would move and he would just begin to move a little bit. And he came back and he said, I saw it, but I'm not sure I believe it. Because I have never seen a 70-some-year-old man. At the time, he's probably 75, 77 years old. I've never seen a 77-year-old man so excited to be in church. So I've been to churches. He's from other states. I've been to churches all across the country. And I've gone, and you sit, and they sit. And the best you can get in most churches is a nod. That's kind of changing. When I grew up, the only thing that people did in church was nod. If you really liked it, you'd double nod. But that wasn't our church. Our church is Pentecostal. We did it all along. We worshiped all along. Dave Soke said, I came back the next week just to see if that was real. He didn't say, Brother Maddox, he didn't say, I'm coming to watch you. Not your wife, as lovely as your wife, and your beautiful couple and beautiful kids. He didn't come to watch you guys, but he said, I want to see that old man. Does that old man really believe it? And he came back, and what I think is the worst thing about this story, and I tell the story all the time, the worst thing about it, I asked him one time when he was telling the story, I said, so what did I preach? He said, I don't have any idea what you preached. But I know that he believed it. And because he believed it, I thought, maybe, just maybe, there's more than what I know. Maybe, just maybe. You know, I talk to people all the time about their belief in God and whether they believe in God or not. And when people find out I'm a preacher, sometimes they want to tell me, I feel like sometimes people want self-defense. Well, I believe in God. You know, they just kind of want to lay it out there. Don't come and convert me. I believe in God, so you stay over there, and I'll stay over here, and I'm okay because I believe in God. Amen. I just got to ask, amen, do you believe in him the way he wants you to believe in him?
Do you believe in him? Amen. The way he wants to have a relationship with you. Do you really have that, what God wants you to have in your life? That is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. That's what the Bible calls for. Amen. For us to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Simon Biles, a young Olympian. Simone, you're right, it is Simone. I wasn't even looking at it and said it wrong. Simone Biles, young lady who has won 23 Olympic gold medals, some 30 world medals. Can jump when she's doing her stuff on the floor. Her head. Is 12 feet in the air. Her head is 12 feet in the air. The bottom of her feet. When she leaps. Doing her performance. Is 7 feet. Right here. Right at my thumb. Is 7 feet. That's the bottom of her feet. I'd like for somebody to come and show me how you can do that. Some of you young bucks. You know, you're strutting your stuff around trying to get a chick. Come show me, you know, you're going to win a chick if you can get over 7 feet with the bottom of your feet. Anybody? Maybe it's not for men to do that because it's a woman's sport. How about one of you girls? You'll impress a guy. Maybe. Which one of you girls wants to come up here? M? L? Right here at my thumb. 7 feet. Or has Simone Biles been jumping and jumping and jumping and jumping and jumping and jumping and rolling and twisting at 5 a.m, at 6 a.m, at 8 a.m, at 2 p.m, when nobody else is in the gym. Nobody else is there watching her. She's been running around doing sprints. What I really think, sometimes we do church and we do God. I know him. Yes, but are you living for him? Are you following him? Are you honoring him? Shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. Amen. Make his name known. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Are we doing the job? Lifting him up, are we? Paul talks about exercise. You know, you get out there and you work out. And he actually talked about shadow boxing. You ever seen a boxer bounce around? You know, duck and weave and shadow box. And, I mean, they're just swinging those arms left and right and uppercut and roundhouses. And, I mean, they got to set their feet and do this and do that. You see that? Nobody's even there. What are they getting ready for? The day that somebody's going to be there. The day that somebody shows up. Watch the YouTube stuff. And all these kids think, wow, man, I'm really good. I'm really something else. And they say, I'm going to take on this guy. I'm going to take on that guy. Watch one guy, young guy, he'd flip around. He was a karate guy. He'd flip around and kick his feet in the air. and he got in with a professional. He just convinced himself. He convinced himself he's going to beat up this professional guy who did all of this boxing, kickboxing, and all that kind of stuff. And so he gets in the ring, and he flips around, and he kicks his feet in the air, and the guy just steps back. He lands on the ground. He does a flying kick, and he runs up, and he's got the kick down. He flies up and kicks the guy in the head, and he kicks the guy in the head, and the guy just looks at him. Takes his arm and flips his leg off. A leg kick up against the head is generally a pretty effective tactic. And he just flips it off. And the guy comes flying up at him and he lands on the ground. The guy just steps back out of the way and he lands on the ground. And he looks at the referee and he looks at the crowd and he's like, what's up with this guy? I mean, and the guy just kept going. He kept jumping up and flipping through the air and kicking nothing and landing on the ground or slipping and falling and landing on the ground. And the guy just went with him and went with him for a little bit. And finally, the guy comes flipping at him up in the air, landed feet in the air, and the man just stepped in and went, pow. And the guy landed flat out on the ground and didn't move. And I really do think, if you don't have the joy of the Lord, I don't think you've been to the spiritual gym. I don't think you're putting I don't want to be negative. That's not my point. Please forgive me. I don't want to be negative. But joy is an exercise. Joy is something you practice. I would even say joy is something you work at. Because all around us, all around you, is trouble. Cars break down. Families get into a fight. Somebody's mad at somebody. Work is just terrible. The boss is sometimes a jerk. You know, and you've got this problem and that problem in your kids. If you've got kids, sometimes they're wild animals. They just do all kinds of crazy, nutty stuff. And just crazy, nutty stuff. And you've told them, and sometimes they don't listen. And sometimes your teenagers don't listen. And sometimes your adults don't listen. And sometimes your husband doesn't listen. And it just, stuff happens in life. And if you look at all the problems, amen, if you look at all the difficulties, and that's all you see, there's no joy. Because you just see you're just slogging through life. It's difficult. It's a heartache. Hey, man, but I'm telling you, in the middle of all of that, hey, man, our God reigns. Our God rules. And if you look at the Lord, if you look at the kingdom of God, if you just look Jesus in the face, hey, man, if you just set your eyes on Jesus, you see how great our God is, how mighty our God is, how powerful our God is. And how active our God is. I heard a sermon of a guy. He was talking about his neighbors. His neighbor called him the heavenly neighbor. His neighbors called him, he's a pastor, called him the heavenly neighbor. And he helped them, and he did things for them, and they just looked at him. And it was not a negative comment. They were making a positive comment. He's just a really nice guy, does really good stuff, and we see what he does, and we like the guy. And so they called him the heavenly neighbor. They didn't go to church, but they knew the heavenly neighbor did, and they knew the heavenly neighbor was a pastor. And so one day, the dad of that family had a stroke. And they took him into the hospital, and they do all the things they do. And finally, they got to the place. They said, well, I'm sorry. He's gone. His body's here, but his brain is not. And so they went and told their neighbor, in two days, we're going to go to the hospital. And they've given us the job of unplugging, and we've got to go into the room. And they're going to turn off the machines and unplug them. And then we're going to be there when he dies. We're trying to get all the family there. But what an opening. But would you go pray with him? And he said, well, you know, us pastors, sure. We'll try our best to get there and go pray for him.
try to do that tomorrow. He got up the next day and he just wasn't feeling all that good. His sciatica had been bothering him, you know, and his shoes were kind of rotten, and he was thinking of getting new shoes, but he hadn't had time to get new shoes, and so he had an older pair of shoes on, and he was headed up to the hospital. He had a couple other things he had to do, and if you've never pastored, please don't condemn me for these next couple of minutes. He didn't want to. He just didn't feel like it. He felt grouchy. He was aggravated. He had some problems and some stuff he was supposed to be doing. But they asked him. He said he would. So, I mean, he kind of went up to the room with a little attitude. And he thought, they called me when he's dead. Why didn't they call me when they had hope? And now they call me when he's dead. What good am I going to do? Go praying for him. And yet he went up and he stood and talked to the man. He said, hey, called him by name. Hey, Fred, or whatever his name was. I'm here to pray for you. Not sure if he heard him. The doctor said, no, he's brain dead. He can't hear you. But he did it anyway. He said, our God is good. And your family's called me to pray for you. So I'm here today to lift you up to God in prayer. And I just thought I'd tell you, if you want to, you can pray with me. And then he did what I think is a very surprising thing. He bowed his head and said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. And the man said, hey, what are you doing here? And he looked up, and the man had his head off the pillow and said, what are you doing here? He was stunned because God woke him up. And he went home in 2 days. But if God is real, why doesn't God heal everybody? I don't know. I suppose you ask Jesus. Because he hung on the cross and died. You could ask Paul, but he's dead. You could talk to Peter or Andrew or Simon. They're dead. They were crucified upside down. John was boiled in oil and survived. And lived to tell the tale of him being boiled in oil. But he ended up dying of, they say, old age when he was about 100 years old. So John, the longest living disciple, is gone. Polycarp, who stood as they wanted to chain him to a post and pile wood around his legs and set fire to it. And they said, we're gonna tie your arms behind your back so you don't escape. And Polycarp said, well, there's no need. My love for God will keep me here. And the crowd gathered around in the stadium around him, cheering and jeering as they piled on the wood and they brought in the flames and they lit it beneath his feet. And because his arms weren't tied down, in the first or the second century, about 135, 140, he began to raise his hands and magnify the Lord. As the flames began to lick at his body, he left his hands in the air, and as it consumed him, for whatever reason, history records that he stood there against the post with his hands in the air until the fire went out. Worshiping his God. They gave him an opportunity. If you'll just say that Nero or the emperor is your God, This will all be over. He said, I'd rather be at the post. He was an old man at the time. He said, God has never failed me in my life. Why now would I fail him? And he gave his life. I'm telling you, it matters. It matters how you look at it. It matters from the inside. Nobody can put a love for God on the inside. And nobody can ever take the love of God that you have on the inside away from you. Nobody can steal it away. There's no trouble. There's no heartache. There's no trial. There's no difficulty that anybody can take away. Amen. Your love for God, if you have a relationship with God, if you truly know God and the nature of God, amen, if you really can understand how much God loves you, how much he sacrificed for you, how much he gave of himself to save you from your sins, if you really know him, amen, you would love him. If you really know. The issue is, I had a one-year camp. I had a young lady come up, and one of my friends told me, oh, man, this girl is a softball phenom. She is a pitcher on a softball team. I said, well, I played baseball when I was growing up. I played baseball, played softball with the church, you know, played softball at camp. I said, that's all right. He said, no, I don't think you can hit her. I said, it's been a while since I played, but sure. Have her throw it to me. And he said, okay. He said, here's a bat, stand here. She's gonna go up there. And she did one. I've never seen a pitch like that. I mean, I've never even been around a pitch like that. She started winding up. I don't know where all her body went, but she kind of went. And I went, has she pitched it yet? That ball went by me so fast, I don't think I even saw it. I think I was still watching her do her wind-up deal. And I was like, what in the world is, you know, I'm used to overhand. She wound up and underhand pitch. I just couldn't imagine. I'd never seen a girl throw like that and that hard. You know, we played softball. That's what I'm used to. You wait. Is it a good one? Is it not a good one? I don't know. What do I want to eat for dinner? Let's see. We're waiting on the ball to come in. And she threw the ball, and it was pow in his glove. And I looked back, and I looked at her, and I looked back. I said, well, I'm going to fix that. And I started swinging before she started pitching. Zip. Nope. I said, I think I know what she's doing now. Hold on a second. Let me try it again. Three times she threw a pitch. Man, I'm telling you, I wasn't even close. Never did hit the ball when she was throwing it to me. Never did play against her again. Smart man here. I never did embarrass myself again. But it really does matter. It really matters how much you invest yourself in knowing the Lord. It's kind of hard to have joy when you're not happy. James 1 and 2 says, consider it great joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you experience various trials. Because you know that testing your faith produces endurance. Let endurance have its full effect so that you may be mature, lacking nothing. Joy comes by going through it. Joy comes by
One day you're on your journey, and all of a sudden you hit a difficult trial, a heartache, a problem, a situation, and you're going, oh, Lord, help me. Oh, God, the winds are terrible. I feel like I'm going to drown. It's such a hard thing. I don't understand what God's doing. Why is God doing this to me? I don't understand. God, help me. I'm trying to reach out to you. God, I need you on my side. Amen. God, would you please help me? And all of a sudden, the winds stop. And a solution shows itself. And you get here and you look back and say, well, I'm looking. I see God at work in my life. I see God was working all along in my life. Amen. That's exactly what God wants to get you to. Listen to me. God never meant and God never sent a storm to destroy you. God sent a storm to strengthen you. Amen. To bring you out of that storm. To bring you through that storm. So you can stand one day and say, well, I don't know, but one day I had a storm and God was with me and I don't know how I got through it. I just kept relying on God. Do you know the opposite of that is? I don't understand. I don't get it. I give up. And the enemy wins. So God gives joy. So how do you rejoice? The Bible says, clap your hands. Rejoice that he is the King of Kings. Romans 15 and 13 says, now that may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you believe, so that you may overflow with the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The NIV says it that way. Amen. Rejoice that he's the king. Rejoice that he's in charge. Rejoice, amen, no matter what's going on in my life. You're practicing rejoicing. When things are great, rejoice. When things are difficult, rejoice. When things are overwhelming, rejoice. Amen. Because your God reigns. Regardless of what you're going through, regardless of what you've got happening in your life, your God reigns. You need to know that. You need to know. You need to know. Listen to me. You don't need to feel. You don't need to feel like God's good. Because sometimes when I get up in the morning, I don't feel good. When I've got problems, I don't feel good. When I got somebody mad at me, I don't feel good. Amen. But that does never diminish how good my God is. Amen. And never. I know how good my God is. I know what God's doing when I don't see him at work. Talking about showing up. Amen. God was at the gym working out before I was ever born. God's been at it, raising kingdoms, amen, raising men of God, raising leaders long before I was ever born. God's been getting ready for this day. God's been getting ready for this revival. God's been getting ready for this outpouring of the Holy Ghost. God's been... You're never going to catch God off guard by your difficulty. God's going to go, oh, that happened. It's 12:38. That's a surprise. God, I preached a little bit about this last week. God's all-knowing. God knows the end from the beginning. Wrap your mind about that, around that. I've got to close. I've got too much to preach, and you don't have enough amens left in you. I've preached you clean out of amens. I have, M's going to go. I've got some things. I was up early this morning talking to the Lord, and I feel like the Lord's talking to me. Next Tuesday, we're doing special service honoring the end of the year, kicking off the new year. We always do prayer and fasting. I feel like the Lord told me this. I'm going to do for 30 days, I'm going to do a 5-minute little summary on a characteristic of God, the nature of God, the characteristics of God. I'm going to do a little podcast and I'm going to text it out to everybody. If I have your number, if you get text from the church, you're going to receive it. What I believe the Lord told me, listen to me, I believe God told me this. I believe sometimes have you ever been to a T-ball game? My grandson plays T-ball. And we've gone to the game. Isaac was actually the coach. It is the funniest thing you've ever seen in your life. There is nothing funnier than a bunch of 3- and 4-year-olds trying to play T-ball. They don't know how to hold the bat. They don't know where to stand. There's one little kid. He just sits down out there, plays in the dirt between his feet. You just hope he doesn't ever get hit with a ball. But then you see them bat, and you have no worry that he'll ever get hit with a ball. Just even if he gets hit with a ball, it ain't going to hurt him. And they throw the ball different places, and they run all over the field, and the coach has got to go get them. They come around third, and they go right into the dugout, and the coach has got to get them out of the dugout and make them come back and run home. And I mean, it's absolutely the funniest thing. And I think sometimes we as Christians, we can find ourselves running around every which way. And God goes, I've got something that's called the Word of God, which will show you who I am. It'll teach you my character. It'll teach you that you can trust in me. It'll show you how I'm fighting for you and I'm on your side. You're going to fight the devil? You're going to fight depression, oppression, addiction without any weapons? Or you think you're going to go pull out a little 2-inch blade and do damage with the devil? When God said, amen, pick up the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God, and it'll do damage to the devil in your life. Amen. You can fight off the devil with the Word of God, but you've got to know it. The Bible says, I will hide the Word of God in my heart so that I might not sin against him. There's a reason for the Word of God. There's a reason to know the Word of God. I'm telling you, I feel like almost the Lord beat me up this morning. We need to get the Word of God into people. And I know it's hard sometimes to sit down and I don't know if I get anything out of reading the Word of God. Read it anyway. You'll find out someday that you got a lot out of it. See, I just, pardon me. I got to finish a little bit of preaching. Bible says, Satan came to the Lord, trying to, listen to me, you think you've got it tough. Satan came to the Lord trying to convince him to give it up, to throw down the holiness handle, to get rid of the idea that you're the savior of the world. If you'll just bow down and worship me. If you'll just take this rock and turn it into bread. I know you're a trickster and you've got all kinds of things up your sleeve. Take the rock, turn it into bread. Come here. Get up on the pinnacle of the temple. And those didn't get you. So here, I'm going to have all the kingdoms of the world. I'm going to show you the wealth of Babylon, the wealth of Egypt. Let me open up the tombs and show you the gold piled in those tombs of Egypt. Let me show you the value of what's going on in Rome. Let me show you all the power. They snap their fingers and cities die. Let me show you that. And I'll give it to you. If
You just worship me.
You see, you're not fooling me. The devil's offering you all kinds. If you'll just give up your faith, if you'll just serve me, just trade your soul. It's too hard to clap your hands unto the Lord. It's too hard to rate. It's too hard to pray. It's too hard to talk to the God that loves you. It's just too hard. I don't have any joy. What's that preacher talking about? I don't have joy. I don't have joy like that. It's just too hard to pray. It's just too hard to study the Word of God. It's too hard to come to church. And I got to go to church, and this little short, fat, balding guy yells at me. I come, I'm good, I'm sitting here in church, and the fat guy's yelling at me. What's going on? Because I know that the sneaky dude, listen, if the devil went for Jesus, and you think you're going to pull out your little 2-inch blade, you're like the guy getting in the ring. I've been practicing in front of the mirror. Yah, yah, yah. And the devil's been practicing for thousands of years, tricking people, lying to them, and convincing them. But you go ahead with your little spork. Take on Jesus with my spork. Why don't we take... Where are you going, Jesus? Don't go anywhere. Jesus didn't even pull out his Bible. Jesus defeated the devil by saying, it is... He reached down into his heart and pulled out the Word of God. Spoke the Word of God out of his mouth, and the devil went. After 3 tries, the devil said, I give up. It's too powerful for me. Well, how do you get the Word of God in your heart? The Bible actually says you hide. You hide it. It means you got to get it and put it in there. And then when the devil comes against you, I'm telling you, it's automatic. Devil lies to you and say, you're not going to get me on that lie. Here's what the truth says. Amen. Here's what the Word of God says. I'm not going to get caught up in that lie. I'm not going to get caught up by that Bathsheba. I'm not going to get caught up by that situation. Amen. I'm not going to worry about what the enemy's doing. I'm going to magnify because he's the king of all the earth. Amen. He's in charge of even the enemy of my soul. He's in charge. The devil has to ask him for permission. Amen. So, I feel like the Lord told me that early this morning. And I've been studying and thinking about this, but this is what I think he told me. I'm going to record every day a thought. I'm handing them to you. There's a handout. We'll be out in the lobby. I hope I have enough for everybody. If not, you tell me, and I'll make sure you get one. Every day, the first day, number one, he's the I am. The second day, he's infinite. You want to get a real broad view of God? Try to think of where God started.
and then try to spend a few minutes thinking about where God ends.
Man, when you begin to think of,
wow.
You see, I said this, I think, last week. I said it at a funeral recently. We are souls. By God, we are souls who happen for a short period of time to live in a body. But this body dies. And unless you live for Him, amen, I don't know that it gets resurrected. But if you live for Him, that body is going to get resurrected and changed. And the Bible says we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Amen. So this Word of God, stuffed, you can get one of these. You could put it up wherever you want to put it. But I'm going to record. Would you put up the QR code? I know this is an end-of-year sermon, so it's a little different. I got a QR code. If you're not getting text messages or information from the church, and you'd like to get, for the next 30 days, starting January the 1st,